The Lord be with you.
If you'd like to be seated.
I'd like to say good morning and a very warm welcome to everyone to our service of morning prayer on this Christmas Eve. And as we welcome everybody this morning, we also welcome those who are joining us online. I know there are a number of people who haven't been well and who've been telling me that they've been able to tune in online. So you're very welcome wherever you're joining us as we come together to worship on this Christmas Eve morning. If you're able to stay after church this morning, there's some lovely seasonal refreshments available in the church hall after, some mulled wine and mince pies. So if you can stay, you're very welcome after our service this morning. This evening, our worship will continue at 11 o'clock tonight with the First Communion of Christmas, which is always a very special service. That's at 11 o'clock this evening. And tomorrow, which is Christmas Day, there will be Holy Communion at 9 o'clock, and at 10:15, a family celebration of Christmas. Next Sunday, our services are Holy Communion at 9 o'clock, and at 11 o'clock next Sunday morning, we have a service of hymns and readings telling the story behind some of our favorite carols. That's next Sunday morning at 11. Over the season of Advent, we have been lighting all the candles in our Advent wreath as we think of all the preparations that God made for the coming of his Son, Jesus. And this morning, I'm going to invite Matthew, who's going to come and light our fourth candle today. And it's getting very close to lighting all the candles on our wreath. So Matthew's going to come and help us to do that. Over the past number of weeks, we've been remembering all these central people who have prepared the way for the coming of the Lord. And our first candle reminded us of Abraham, Isaac, Moses, and David, who all looked forward to the coming of Jesus. Our second candle reminded us of the prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Micah, who all told of the coming Messiah. Last week when we lit our third candle, it reminded us of John the Baptist, who came to prepare the way for the Lord. And today, as Matthew has just lit our fourth candle, we're remembering Mary, who was obedient and so became the mother of Jesus. All the responses for our service today will be on the screen, or if you wish to follow in the prayer book, our service is the service of morning prayer. It begins on page 101 in the Book of Common Prayer. Beloved in Christ, we come together this morning to offer to Almighty God our worship and praise and thanksgiving, to confess our sins and to receive God's forgiveness, to hear his holy word proclaimed, to bring before him our needs and the needs of the world, and to pray that in the power of his Spirit we may serve him and know the greatness of his love. So let us confess our sins to God our Father. Heavenly Father,
Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbor in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault, by what we have done and by what we have failed to do. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us. Forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen.
Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you. Pardon and deliver you from all your sins. Confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen.
Our psalm appointed for this morning is a psalm that speaks of the call of God upon us to live a holy life. And we're going to stand together as we say verses 1 to 6 of Psalm 24. And if you're following in the prayer book, you'll find it on page 616. We say together, "The earth is the Lord's, and all that fills it, the world and those who live in it. For he has founded it on the seas and established it on the rivers. Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord, and who shall stand in his holy place? Those who have clean hands and pure hearts, who do not lift up their souls to what is false and do not swear deceitfully. They will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from the God of their salvation. Such is the company of those who seek him, who seek the face of the God of Jacob."
And if you'd like to be seated for our first Bible reading, Barbara is going to come and read to us.
Our Old Testament reading is from Isaiah chapter 7, beginning at verse 10. "Again the Lord spoke to Ahaz, 'Ask a sign of the Lord your God, let it be deep as Sheol or high as heaven.' But Ahaz said, 'I will not ask, and I will not put the Lord to the test.' And he said, 'Hear then, O house of David, is it too little for you to weary men, that you weary my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel.'" Here ends the reading.
During the singing of our next hymn, the children will be leaving us for Sunday school, and we want to wish them well as they go out this morning. We're going to sing together hymn 170, "Love Came Down at Christmas."
The New Testament reading is from the Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 1, beginning at verse 26. "In the sixth month, an angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary, and he came to her and said, 'Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you.' But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. And Mary said to the angel, how will this be, since I am a virgin? And the angel answered her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth is in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God. And Mary said, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. This is the word of the Lord.
We're going to join together now to affirm our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Let us pray. Our special collect prayer for this morning's service. God, our Redeemer, who prepared the Blessed Virgin Mary to be the mother of your Son, grant that as she looked for his coming as our Savior, so we may be ready to greet him when he comes again as our judge, who is alive and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. O God, the author of peace and lover of concord, to know you is eternal life, and to serve you is perfect freedom. Defend us in all assaults of our enemies, that we, surely trusting in your protection, may not fear the power of any adversaries, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Heavenly Father, in whom we live and move and have our being, we humbly pray that your Holy Spirit may so guide and govern us that in all the cares and occupations of our daily life, we may never forget your presence, but may remember that we are always walking in your sight, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. We're going to join together to sing our next hymn, hymn 149, Away in a Manger.
Thank you. Lord God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be with us now as we look to you. Amen. The church always looks so beautiful at Christmas. We come and worship here weekly, and we get used to the place looking nice enough. And then, suddenly, out of the blue, there are all these decorations. It's as if we've been visited by brownies or fairies who have magically transformed our church into a place of Christmas delight. Although we know in truth, there's nothing magical about it. There are a group of people who dedicate hours of their time into planning the flowers, the trees, the candles, and so much more. And again, there's nothing sudden about it either. The process of taking those plans and turning them into reality, the reality of all we see around us, is far from sudden. It's careful, it's methodical, and it's a step-by-step process done to the tiniest degree of attention. And we're very grateful to those people who prepare the flowers, prepare all of this for us behind the scenes. It's this unseen, loving labor that makes the place so special for the rest of us. There's a comedy sketch that's been around for some time online now, in which a man tells his dumbfounded wife about their magic coffee table. He says that no matter what he leaves on the table, plates, cutlery, pizza boxes, wrappings, whatever it is, he sometimes experiments and makes it quite elaborate. When he gets up in the morning, it's all gone, tidied away. He speaks of the magic laundry basket, and he tells his wife that all he needs to do is stick dirty clothes in this basket. Next day, it turns up, all clean, folded on his bed. He wakes the next morning to find his wife is gone. He tells the police that he thinks she's fallen onto the magic coffee table and has vanished. And we know, along with his wife, that it's her who's doing all of the work, and he's simply not noticing. It's a very funny and somewhat sobering sketch, and we'll circle back to it later on. This morning, we read that account of Gabriel's visit to Mary. And it's during this visit that he tells her that she's going to have a baby. She's going to conceive this baby by the action of the Holy Spirit. As an unmarried woman, the baby she will carry will in turn carry the weight of the entirety of biblical prophecy. Everything that David, Jacob, Isaiah, Moses looked forward to is about to be knitted together in Mary's womb. Now, Gabriel was a busy angel, and Mary was not the only person that he visited that year. He'd already been to see a priest called Zechariah. I don't know what Mary was doing when Gabriel came to see her, but I bet it was not half as fancy and half as important as what Zechariah was doing. He was a priest, you see. And I think I'd like you to bear in mind this morning that when I'm speaking about Zechariah, I'm kind of speaking to myself. I don't want to give Zechariah a hard time, but I think that Zechariah's have something to learn from Mary's. And so if I look like I'm giving Zechariah a hard time, I'm kind of speaking to myself. So there he is in Jerusalem. It's his turn to carry out his priestly duties. He's in the sanctuary of the temple where only certain chosen people could go, and he was offering incense to God. And while he did this holy task, the congregation, and Luke calls them the whole assembly, were outside the temple, watching the temple doors and praying to God. It was a very special and public moment for Zechariah. It took a turn for the unusual when Gabriel appeared before him in the sanctuary and spoke. And I reckon Zechariah must have jumped right out of his sandals, because the basic rule was only one person was allowed in there. Certainly, he was not expecting to be chatting with anyone in that hidden sanctuary place. Gabriel spoke to Zechariah about another baby that was to be born to his wife, Elizabeth, a cousin of Mary. This baby, John, would be a special messenger from God, one who would prepare the way for the Messiah and turn the hearts of God's people back to God. So in this chapter of Luke, we've got one angel visiting two people, a priest with public and important duties, and Mary, a young unmarried woman or girl from a poor family in Nazareth. One was revered in his own right as a man of God, and the other was a legal nobody, currently under the ownership of her father, until she came under the ownership of Joseph. And they both gave very different reactions to Gabriel's news. Again, note this is not to criticize Zechariah so much as to honor and learn from Mary. When Zechariah was told that his wife would have a baby, the thing that she had prayed for so long was going to happen. And his instinct was to argue the point. And I don't particularly blame him, but he reacted in such a way that he pushed back against what Gabriel was saying. And Gabriel, who was a pretty good judge of character, this wasn't his first rodeo. Gabriel said, in short, "You seem to have forgotten who you're speaking to, Zechariah. The message I'm giving you is from the throne room of God, and you will know your place." So Gabriel had been around the block a few times, and he knew people. And there was something about Zechariah's reaction that needed stopped. Zechariah was told, you're not going to speak again until all of this comes true. Mary's reaction was different. She was confused and scared. She did ask questions. And she had a question. The central part of her question seemed to be that she was a virgin. And when she was told she was going to have a baby, I wonder if this was part of her fear. Fear of what may happen to her. And Gabriel reassures her by telling her that she was loved by God and the baby would be placed within her through the action of God, not through the action of a man. And her response to this is outstanding. "Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." This is a reaction of someone who did not share Zechariah's instinct. Mary's response is that of a servant, one who consents, not is forced, but one who consents to serve. Jesus, the servant king, was brought up by Mary, the servant mummy. And there's something in the willingness to serve that was in Mary's heart that resonated with God and his purposes. And it was one of the reasons that she found favor with him. Now, Mary was no walkover. We would be fools to think that she was just a pushover. She was tough enough for what was to come, and we read that later on in the Gospels. But I suppose real servants need to be tough enough for the tasks that they're given or the tasks that they choose. People who serve behind the scenes in the church, in the home, in the community, often have a certain resilience that a servant needs. Jesus came to serve. His mother gave herself to serve. And it is for us to choose whether or not to consent to that call of service that is being placed on our lives daily. And we need to remember that if only some of us choose to serve, and we think that service is something that's only for others, it becomes a bind for those others. It becomes servitude for those others, which is a whole different kettle of fish completely. And the wonderful thing is, liberation from servitude is a key part of the gospel of Christ. He talks about it in Luke in a few chapters time. He lays it out. He said, "This is why I'm here. Liberation for those who are oppressed." Jesus came to liberate those living in bondage, liberating one another by sharing service with one another is a matter of the gospel itself. So bringing this down into the daily grind of things. What does this look like? How do we respond to this? I would suggest that a most basic and vital way is by starting in the home. There's no such thing as a magic coffee table. And there's no such thing as a magic laundry basket. There's no such thing as self-cleaning windows and self-cleaning floors. There is such a thing as service done consciously in the name of the servant king. These daily and often twice or thrice daily tasks are central to our well-being and are carried out by those who serve as long as they are physically able. When those with servant hearts are no longer physically able for the task, they pray for those who serve them, and they thank those people in love. This may sound so basic and so mundane, and I'm speaking to me, I think, and I think that most of you are listening in this morning while I'm speaking to myself. We ask ourselves those basic questions. If I'm sitting down watching TV, if I'm watching something on Netflix, I'm always having a cup of coffee. I'm always having a mince pie. When I turn on the TV and walk away, what am I leaving behind me? It's so basic, isn't it? Am I leaving something for servants to come and pick up? When I am getting changed, where am I leaving my bits and pieces? Where are they going? Am I just leaving them for a servant to come and pick up? Or am I involving myself in that shared serving that is part of love? It's so unexciting, it's so mundane, and it's so vital. It's a daily and mundane thing, and it's what the men and women with Mary's heart already do. And it's for the men and women, including me, who have Zechariah's instinct. Well, I think it's for us to learn. Shall we have a time of quiet, and then shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your servant Mary. Thank you for the openness that that young woman gave herself to you with. Thank you that she knew that she was instantly out of her depth, but she trusted you. Would you please teach us what it is to have a servant heart. Teach us what it is to love and serve those we live with. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord of heaven, would you bless all who lead with integrity and respect for others? Bless all in positions of authority like Zechariah, like government leaders, like church leaders, but bless them with humility and a sense of right. May unjust practices be changed for good, and conflicts of great tension be peaceably resolved. And we bring to you especially what is happening in your birthplace, Lord Jesus, so close to where you were born. It is in such turmoil. We bring to you what's happening still in the Ukraine. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord of heaven, make our own homes places of loving acceptance and developing faith in practice. Teach us in all our friendships to grow in generosity of spirit. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord of heaven, give patience and courage to all who have to wait. And when the waiting is long and painful, bring healing to all who are wounded, whether physically or emotionally, and give them the assurance of your presence. And Heavenly Father, we bring to you those who are spending this Christmas time in hospital and under the care of doctors and nurses. It's a hard time to be in hospital. Would you just come close to them and their families? Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord of heaven, you welcome into your eternity those who have died to this life and whose hope is in you. This season, would you comfort those who mourn and reach into their pain with your love, as this is a time where things can often hurt especially. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord of heaven, we thank you for your faithful promise to us, fulfilled in the coming of Jesus, and we welcome his servant kingship in our lives. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
And as we continue to reflect on the life of Mary, we're going to sing together our next hymn, hymn 462, For Mary, Mother of Our Lord.
Oh,
We bow our heads for God's blessing. May Christ, the Son of Righteousness, shine upon you, gladden your hearts, and scatter the darkness from before you. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst you and remain with you this day and forevermore. Amen. Our closing hymn this morning is hymn 174, O Little Town of Bethlehem.